Kevin Ryan, H. Foley, the Are You Garbage podcast. First time in studio. Thank you guys for coming in.
What's up, man? Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
I'm in Australia right now. This is coming out in a week.
Time travel.
I will be in Australia. Have you gone to Australia yet?
Not yet.
It's a 15-hour flight.
That's what I hear.
It's 15 hours. It's blood clot central.
Widowmaker. Widowmaker Air.
Two pairs of compression socks for that flight.
I get up and I walk.
Yeah.
In the middle of it. And the people, like the flight attendant, will be like, what are you doing? I go, I'm trying to survive.
I don't want to stroke out.
Yeah. I'm trying to get off this plane with both sides of my body operational. But it's a great country to do stand-up comedy in, but it's a long fucking flight.
Yeah. You were there not too long ago as well.
Also a mistake. You can't go back immediately because the people go, we get it.
We know what you do.
We're aware. But yeah, we're doing well. We got Sydney's sold out. Melbourne is on its way. Then Brisbane, and then the other ones we're doing Auckland, New Zealand. We canceled Christchurch. I thought more tickets would sell because that's where they had that shooter did that manifesto. So I really was hopeful about Christchurch, and I said to my team, I go, we're going to be okay with Christchurch because that guy, what did he, shoot up a synagogue?
Yeah.
I go, listen, I'm just saying they're wild. So maybe we're getting, and I'm not for any of that behavior. I'm just saying I think we're going to move some tickets. We did not, which makes me happy.
Yeah, it's a good reflection.
It makes me actually very happy that those people are not coming, you know? So I love you, gentlemen. Everybody knows the Are You Garbage podcast. You are the best new podcast in the world.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, this it means a lot.
I wanted you guys on around this, even though it's warm out in New York today, which fucks me up. I like the fall to be the fall.
Love it. Love the fall.
Right?
Yep. The best.
It's a little hot.
A little too much.
Yeah. I went swimming yesterday in the ocean.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Where at? Out in the Hamptons?
Out Southampton, yeah, in the ocean. October.
What do you think? Atlantic City's on the goddamn. Yeah.
I don't know what this guy's doing.
I went to Galveston, Texas, and swam in the waters of the oil water. But I want to talk about Halloween with you guys because I know that is it the trashiest holiday or no?
It ain't the classiest. I'll tell you that. It's definitely not the fucking classiest.
It's the greatest.
It is amazing.
Mini Snickers, let's go.
As two fat dirtbags who don't like candy and fucking mischief, you know what I mean?
Where do you put the holidays from classy to trashy? Because that's kind of interesting. Do you go Christmas as the classiest because you got the candle in the window? And
Christmas can go south.
Not our Christmas.
Sorry, what are you talking about, dude? Christmas can go south real quick.
That's fight on Christmas morning.
Yeah. Where I think Christmas can be the classy. If you're going Catholic, like Easter, to me, there's no like real boozing on Easter. It's Sunday afternoon. You go to church.
Easter stinks.
It stinks, but that's the classiest.
I'll tell you right now, here's how we can ruin that. Horseshoes. My family, during Easter at my Aunt C's house, God rest her soul. This is why I have the top-rated episode.
You do, which just passed a million, by the way.
I know Shane and Segura are climbing on me. I know it. But I'll tell you this. My Aunt C, God rest her soul, and her husband, Uncle Bill, was a cop. Was that shooting justified? Hey. Now,
why are you bringing up old shit, Tim? Yeah.
Split-second decisions. No, they were good people.
It was a different time.
Yeah, they were good people. And, you know, they had Easter Sunday, and my family would drink and then throw horseshoes.
Jesus.
And so there would be kids running around, Jesus. And then you'd have a metal horseshoe, like, whizzing by your head.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be in your church, you know, and then, like, you know, somebody would scream at you, be like, get the flat away!
Yeah.
And just sling a...
Throwing metal through
but
the
But I
air.
Agree with you, in theory, there's nothing classier than Easter.
Yes.
Yeah, but it sucks. And I always thought in horseshoes that I wasn't good at it because I didn't have a cigarette hanging out of my mouth.
Well, that's what
I thought. That's what I thought made the uncles that good.
It was a Heine? You had to have a Heineken?
Sure.
And a cig hanging out of the mouth.
In the throw, you had to have that.
You had to have it. And they played horseshoes during Easter Sunday. And then Easter Saturday, we would do, my nanny would do a pink ham, and she would do the mustard vinegar glaze.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which was real nice. And then she would do, you know, the sides and stuff.
Yeah. When they when those honey baked started getting
popular.
That
changed the game.
That's
dude.
A big deal.
That was like, we're going to get the honey baked, the spiral cut. Yeah. Woo! Cheese little, potatoes.
Little cinnamon apples.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. But I'll tell you why Easter can kick rocks. One, pastels. Get the fuck out of here.
Interesting.
I hate that shit.
Interesting H. Foley coming out against pastels.
Yeah, yeah, he dude. Takes the hard takes, that yeah. H. Foley.
Early on in the episode.
Church is nice on
church stinks.
On Christmas. No, but I'm just saying, you know, you have something nice on. It's the winter. You're not going inside. You're hanging out in the back. You're goofing around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You maybe got a couple M&Ms or some Hershey.
It's not as proper, it feels, yeah.
Dude, fucking... Easter, you feel like you're a used car salesman. I'm walking around in a pink blazer like a dickhead. Get out of here with that.
I will tell you one thing about Easter. There's what the Easter cigarette outside of the church.
Oh, it's nice. Grass is coming in. Yeah.
There's a cold, little bit of a breeze. Yeah,
a little
sunlight.
Bit of a breeze.
I'll give
you're
you that.
Still sweating.
Yeah,
you're
man.
Still sweating, but the sweat's being cooled by the breeze.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're having a ciggy outside the church.
Dude.
And the priest, they're all looking at you. Go, I know what I'm doing, but I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm on the property.
I'm here.
I'm on the property.
They were always waiting to rip a heater.
That's
remember
right.
the first time you saw a priest ripping a dart behind the rectory? Holy shit.
Yeah, he's like, I got to have something.
Yeah.
You know? So Easter, I think you're right about that. Easter does
the
kind of...
The candy's whack, too.
It presents as the classic.
I don't like the candy, and I don't like, you know, the Easter egg, hunt the basket. Hey, hey, hey. What are we working for here?
Yeah, just, I know there's you got to give it to me. Yeah.
There was only one that had a five in it.
You know, my aunt used to hide these baskets so aggressively that people would start crying. Me and my cousins would start crying.
There was no baskets?
She would hide them in places. My grandfather did well, and mm-hmm. he built his own house in Muttontown, Long Island, which is an area where Jennifer shit. Lopez
Muttontown
lived.
Doesn't Muttontown. Sound nice.
Muttontown, no,
it sounds
amazing.
Like it's behind a butcher shop.
No, I know. But it's one of those things rich people do
sure.
where they're like, you'd think it's not, but it's stunning. And he had a 5,000-square-foot house, which ooh. To us was huge.
A big house.
But here's the problem when you hide baskets. The kids start crying because you look in a few places and people start getting upset now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And my aunt really liked that because she was sick.
She had dementia, yeah.
And she didn't have children herself. And when people would start to cry, and she would just go, look harder. Work harder, and we run up and down the stairs, and then we'd eventually find it. And then what was the treat? Nothing, you know. A couple of pastel, you know. You get a nice Reese's duck. I mean Reese's what is it?
Bunny
a bunny
or whatever.
Bunny.
Easter egg, those were art. The Peeps,
a Reese's egg. Yeah.
Peeps
yeah.
can kick fucking rocks. Dude.
Reese's egg, the Cadbury. I do like a Cadbury cream. McFlurry
love a Cadbury
in
cream
London.
Egg. Love them.
A Cadbury cream McFlurry in London is nice.
Holy shit, really?
They're doing that over there?
Welcome to the world.
Oh.
Welcome to global.
I got to get a passport.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's not bad. And
the candy didn't catch up until recently. When I was when we were kids, it was the shitty, low, low, low off-brand chocolate bunnies
like,
that were hollow.
The
and,
wax. And it was like waxy all wax. Chocolate.
And it was chemical taste.
Yeah,
yeah,
it sucked.
You had a chemical taste.
And not plus, good. I remember
was
getting...
Was it a Russell Stover? What kind of bunny did you get?
Russell Stover, I'd be all right with.
Russell Stover was the one that was kind of mid-grade.
Yes.
Mid-grade, respectable. Your father still has a job.
Sure. Yeah.
You got a Russell Stover.
You got a bonus that year.
Lint... is a little next level.
Lint. Who lint. Was getting lint?
That's I didn't have that. Till, I didn't have that till 32.
Yeah.
A lint, touch of sea salt?
Sea salt or chocolate? About it.
The lint bunny is a nice bunny.
Huh.
Whoa.
The lint bunny is a good bunny.
I remember one year getting a solid white chocolate crucifix. And I was like, can
I see if you can even find that?
Can I eat
I would
this?
Love to see a solid white
dude,
chocolate.
I was like, can I eat this? Crazy.
That was definitely something they gave out for the Ku Klux Klan. By the way, it's real. It's real.
Yeah,
I love
dude.
You can get a white chocolate crucifix.
How do you feel about the white chocolate?
Oh,
Tim?
Sucks.
I'm a fan.
Here's what I like.
I love it.
I like it in ice cream. My favorite flavor in Haagen-Dazs is a white chocolate raspberry truffle ice cream.
That's good.
When Godiva had their ice creams, damn. And they were only around for a few years,
mm-hmm.
in the glory days mm-hmm. of the late 90s, the early aughts, early 2000s, they had a white chocolate raspberry ice cream. White chocolate raspberry in ice cream might be one of the greatest flavor combinations.
It's good.
But as an actual candy, I don't like it.
The only one that kind of hangs in there is the Hershey's cookies and cream.
Of course.
That's a little different, though. Yes. Yeah. It was so classy to me. It was so like, you get it once a year when it comes. I love it. I think looking back, I don't know if I love the taste, but I love the idea.
There's
of it.
A pageantry to Easter, the flowers, the church and stuff. It is in theory classy. So we put that at number one. We're ignoring, by the way, Islamic and Jewish holidays here, not because we're not inclusive, but I don't have any experience. Do you, gentlemen?
No, I do not.
We don't have any experience with Ramadan.
I was always jealous of my Jewish friends on Christmas Day that got to go get Chinese in a movie, though. I say that all the time.
But it's sad.
Yeah, I don't.
There's a sadness to it.
I thought it was under the radar and chill. No lines. Well, and a nice Chinese restaurant. Chinese restaurant.
You can do that on a Tuesday afternoon. Go catch a movie and Chinese food.
It's something that we would do. They do it then as like
they got nothing else going on.
That's right. It's actually a little sad.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's a little sad, but I will say that, like,
a little Kung Pao chicken and Saving Private Ryan.
Well, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that.
Let's go.
Shout out to D-Day.
There's nothing wrong with a little Kung Pao chicken. Or, you know, you got to remember, like, you know, that being, first of all, that had to be amazing when movies were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
When
were like a big blockbuster.
We're doing some Lo Mein and the Mask.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, we're going to see Ace Ventura 2. Like, when movies were. Now I feel like it's not as. You know what I mean?
And people are probably doing it at home. Like, we'll get takeout and watch and throw on.
Oh,
Netflix.
Fuck that. No. Yeah. No, I want a nice Chinese restaurant where they put the crispy noodles on the table in a bowl. The good ones, not the ones in the fucking bag.
No, the good ones.
The good duck sauce and the good hot mustard.
And then you go out to the big screen and you see something good. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's all right. I agree with you there. Is Christmas the de facto second?
I mean, Christmas can be very, very true. This Christmas on Are You Garbage was one of the first questions we ever came up with was, what color were the lights on your house or your tree?
Yeah, it could swing so
white
hard
lights,
either way.
Class.
That's correct.
Colored lights, yikes.
Easter, everybody's got to kind of show up somewhat proper.
Agreed.
Christmas is different.
Christmas has declined in my household so much that I have, first of all, the prevalence of sweatpants and sweatsuits,
sure.
It's up there.
And slippers and snuggies and weird like comfort leisure wear is insane.
Yeah.
And the who cares attitude about the food and the presentation is troubling.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
It's because a lot of these boomers have checked out, you know, they're
sure.
My grandmother was a great cook. My nanny was a great cook. These people were out there making prime rib, cream of broccoli
starting
soup.
First thing in the morning, cooking. You after
all
presents,
day,
they get at it, they start going.
These boomers, about 45 minutes before people come, take a fucking round of Xanax and then throws cheese on a platter, store-bought cheddar cheese on a platter with some Triscuits, and then God only knows where we're going from there.
The chicken, the Chick-fil-A nugget tray has ruined this country.
I gotta put my foot down on
they're
that.
They're fantastic.
You're crazy.
But once that started showing up in Philly, then the soft pretzel tray showed up.
I will tell you this.
I love it.
They're great. I'm not saying they're not great.
It's nice, but when they chart the decline of this empire.
Yeah.
The soft pencil.
You're nuts, dude.
Is getting mentioned.
Oh, my God. You bring me here and do this to me, dude.
Soft pencil is, there's nowhere to go from there that's going to be positive.
No.
Philly Soft Pretzel is a company. Philly Soft Pretzel Company.
I'm well aware.
Sure. For the listeners in the Midwest.
He owns 30%.
He's my part owner.
He's got three locations. I just opened one out of Hamptons.
Oh, that'd be great.
Dude, it would be great.
That's what you need to do. You need to start doing that.
Content purposes alone, the three of us should open a Philly soft pretzel company.
No, it'd be amazing. And it would be...
Get a Rita's in the Hamptons.
It would be the
shout out to Rita's, by the way.
I love Rita's, but it would be the best episode of Undercover Boss, because immediately they'd all be like, oh, get here! this motherfucker?
It's the three of us. We all have fake mustaches on and shit.
We're like,
so how long have you been working
what's
here?
Me and H. Foley, like, what's a prince? We don't know.
Oh, you dip it in the cheese. Oh, okay. That's good to know.
What a, but you're saying it's
so the, so yeah. The pretzel tray, I just had one. It was Labor Day weekend, my brother's house. I got there early. The pretzel tray, we brought the pretzel tray. We stopped at it. It sat on my lap the whole ride over to the car, dude.
Still
warm. I was salivating.
And you could feel it on the thigh.
Yeah.
And it's the
and
nuggets.
And the salt.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the salt and it's on the thigh.
I would be lying if we cracked it open in the car.
I went out with Ray Kump and his wife after my mother's funeral to a bar in Long Beach called The Saloon. And we're sitting in the saloon and we got the soft pretzel tray with the cheese in the middle and it is nice.
It's awesome.
It is nice.
Communal. It brings people together.
It really does.
But now the dips they have the cheese dip. Like
what
the
else
cheese,
do they have?
They have cinnamon. A cinnamon,
ooh,
that will blow your fucking hair back. Tim.
Now I'm kind
of
liking
on
this.
On paper, you look at it, you're like, I don't know if, dude, one little dip of that day is changed for
that'll
the better.
Change, yeah.
It's fantastic.
I like that.
And you could even go back a couple of years with the cinnamon on that same tip. What started to go downhill, remember when the fruit tray started to get a little popular, but it wasn't just the fruit tray. Remember the cream cheese?
Yes.
Whipped cream dip in the center?
Yes. Yes. Man.
But all that stuff, the reason I say it's the downfall of the empire, is that's replacing a homemade dip.
A buffalo
chicken
dip.
That's replacing something that your grandmother used to do.
Absolutely.
We're riding the slide down. I'm not complaining.
There was always an aunt who came with nothing but a dip.
Mm-hmm.
This woman did not exist except to walk through the door with
what
that dip.
Dip.
Yeah.
You didn't care about her. You didn't care what she said. She smoked cigs in the back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
People were like, hey, like it was, no one cared. She had Coke bottle glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She would walk in, but she'd walk in either with like in the Northeast, she'd walk in with a clam dip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She might walk in with a 7-layer dip,
mm-hmm.
a 7-layer Mexican dip.
We were a big taco dip, we called it.
Taco dip, ooh. Whatever you want to call it.
Buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah.
Let's
so
go.
This woman's walking in with a dip. She has nothing.
Yeah.
She has no children.
No kids, a small old dog.
She has a tiny dog. She has nothing in her life. She makes that dip once a year,
mm-hmm.
and she walks into the house, and her only social interactions on this entire planet are people like us going, you bring the dip?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, of course I did. And she smiles, and then we smile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and then for the other 364 days a year,
she's dead.
She just sits in her house and she watches soap operas and drinks and takes pills because her life is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that moment when she goes, when we go, did you bring the dip? And her name's always like
it's Rainy or something.
It's right.
It's Aunt Rainy's here with the taco dip.
It's two syllables and it makes no sense.
I have to say, my mom is Aunt Nisi with the taco dip. I swear to God. I swear to God. Aunt Nisi, you doing a taco dip?
And that dip is important. And you're right. Now, those people that we know, that dip was their life.
They've died off a little bit.
They've died off a little bit. Or do they just show up with the, because it's not as nice. When you're just bringing the pretzels.
No, but it's also like, oh, and I'm going to invest 3 hours. I'm going to the store. I forgot. I got to go back to the, that's an afternoon to make the taco dip, to make the buffalo chicken dip, to whatever. Or you go, on the way over, I'm going to stop at the soft pretzel, the Chick-fil-A, spend $20, and we're
chilling.
I chart
the downfall of my family parties. My aunt started making dirt. She started doing dirt in a pail.
In
an actual pail?
We used to do them in the, like those clay pot, like those plastic potters.
She would do it in a pail
with gummy worms.
And she would put, you know, the what is it, the Jell-O pudding?
It's like, yeah, it's Jell-O pudding.
The gummy worms.
Gummy worms.
The crushed Oreo or whatever.
Yeah.
That started a decline of desserts.
Sure.
That is very tough to, you know, describe other than to say that was the beginning, maybe of the end of my family.
Yeah. I remember the first time I had that, it was a luncheon after a funeral that was in a public park under an awning.
Things were going
well. I swear to
God,
that was the first time I saw that. I was like, what is that?
Was it a funeral for a drive-by?
And
what the fuck?
They explained it to me, and I was like, Holy shit, that's genius.
We ate it with a shovel. A
couple gummy worms in there.
We had the shovels.
You scooped it out with the shovel.
We had the shovels, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
That blew my brains about
it. So to me, that was a big thing. But Christmas, you're right. It can go bad, and I've seen it go bad.
Yeah, you start mixing booze, especially with my family. We're a big booze family. You mix in booze.
And the emotions are high.
Emotions are high. Everybody spent a shit ton of money that month.
Because Easter, you don't even feel like it's a holiday.
No, there's no presents,
Christmas,
really.
You're like, you were never there for me.
Yeah.
All of those emotions come rush between Thanksgiving and Christmas, those two holidays. Those are holidays where you're the pressure.
Redlining.
It's right. It's running through your veins.
Credit cards are maxed out.
Oh, God.
You didn't get what you want. You and the wife are fighting. What are the
How
kids?
How are you going to pay?
Kids are ungrateful. All that shit.
The rich side of the family just kind of shoves it in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little by little.
Yeah.
That would start up in our family on the Friday. After Thanksgiving, because on the Friday after Thanksgiving, 5 carloads of our family would all head up to the King of Prussia Mall for the big day of shopping.
Yeah.
For the Black Friday sales.
Right.
You'd eat at the food court. You know what I mean? You'd tell your parents what you wanted and all this stuff.
Right.
Then you would leave with your aunt. They'd run in and get
what
it
is
real
your food?
Quick.
Are you is it a bourbon chicken? Are you a ranch one chicken and cheese?
At what?
At the food
King
court?
King of Prussia. Oh, what are you doing?
We used a walk and roll. I used to love
a walk and roll. Nothing wrong with that.
I was a Sbarro's man. Okay. Loved it.
Interesting.
Still do.
And by the way, I've eaten it in New York City. You want to hear something? You want to hear something? When I was a tour guide in New York City, let me tell you about sad. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now something that I feel like it's tough to even admit and come out of my mouth. Times Square Sbarro breakfast buffet.
Whoa.
When I was a tour guide
in New
York.
What's that looking like?
Not good.
What are those? Those home fries have to be.
The hash brown patties, frozen patties.
All right. Which do you like? I love.
I love.
Love.
And what you do is you take a patty, you put a little scramble, bacon, and then you put the patty on top. You make a little hash brown sandwich. And I would do it.
Never thought to think
they had it. Look, there it is. Look at that. New York. There it is. Go to the third picture over. There it is. That's the part of the Sbarro breakfast buffet. They had a literal breakfast buffet in Times Square that you could eat, and I would eat there
sometimes
before my tour, before I would give tours in New York City on a tour bus.
Holy shit.
That had to slow you down a little bit.
Let me tell you right now, that first tour was real phoned in.
Sure. Not a lot of tips on that one.
Yeah, no. Sometimes I would do the tour. I'd literally get on the bus, and I would go, Hell's Kitchen. And they'd go, what? And I'd go, Hell's Kitchen. Then I'd go, Central Park. Central Park. And then
scrambled
other times,
egg burp.
Yeah. I would just be like, ugh. Sometimes you try to hit a Bernie on the bus with no one seeing.
Really?
Yeah.
I love you.
It's like a baseball manager.
You go to the back. Maybe there's six people on the bus. Maybe they're Russians. Russians are great. They're not rats.
They like eaters.
They're not rats. Americans are rats by their fucking nature. You give me a family from Ohio, you give me a woman named Donna, you're getting ratted out.
Yeah.
A woman named fucking Ivanka or her husband Oleg, they don't care. She wants a drag. Yeah. She's maybe hitting one. You go to the back. You're just like this. You know, you hide it.
Yeah. You palm it.
And you palm it, and then you just keep it to the side.
Dude, that's crazy.
You get a few, and then you toss it off the bus, and then you keep going, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so Christmas can go really bad. I think the
Well, Christmas is one of the things you really decorate the house for.
Right.
So it's like right away, if that's bad, that's a real big indicator of what you're doing.
Yeah.
If the lights are just like kind of thrown across the bush in the front, you can see the extension cords, the things are flickering. There's like that's gonna be a rough Christmas inside.
You gotta have white lights.
White lights.
Outside.
White lights.
You gotta have white lights on the tree.
Or color lights can be done very well, like kitschy. Like, oh, it's like an homage back to the fucking 60s or whatever, but it's got to be done real, like, right.
The one thing that does class up Christmas, and this is depending on different families and stuff like that, if there was the uncle and the aunt that didn't have kids that did well, that showed up Christmas Day, that had a stack of money holders in their breast pocket,
and
everybody was getting broken off with a crisp 50.
When you opened a card from your grandparents and saw $100 cash or something... That was, you were like.
Start playing the market. Let's go.
Ecstatic. Mm-hmm. Ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because that was like the best press.
I had my Aunt Kate was exec at a big company in Philly. Cash, no kids. I was her godson. Just broken off.
See, that's the guy that I kind of will be because I don't have kids. So it's like, here's the money.
Here, you boom, know? Here you go. Here's an extra hug. Everybody's getting 50. You get two. And I was like,
there's something really nice about when a family gets it. Like my family now, all of the cousins have gotten older, mm-hmm. but nobody's had kids. Nobody has populated. So I always said this. As you get older, the holidays, unless there are children, they get sadder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they
got to
really,
keep
really
fresh blood.
And what happens is people just start, it just is sad and this is happening. People start talking about cell phones. Like people have sit on a sectional, and this is one of the say, enough!
Sbarro's.
It's fucking pizza.
I'm out of the office this week with strep throat. I hope you guys are enjoying this episode with the Are You Garbage Boys. And hopefully the Middle East, calms down. But I want to talk about Blue Chew right now because I've talked about it for 7 years. And that must mean I love it. Blue Chew is a pill that you can take to make your penis hard. And it has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. But it's in a chewable form. And you can get it prescribed online. There's no embarrassing doctor visits or bumping into somebody that you know at the drugstore because they will ship it to you in a discreet package so you don't have to explain to your roommate or other members of your family what's going on with your penis. Blue Chew is good. So if you go to bluechew.com and use promo code TD at checkout, you're going to get your first month free. That's crazy. Go to bluechew.com, use promo code TD at checkout. You're going to get your first month free, and that is a big deal. And again, I'm out of the office with strep throat. I'm hoping everything is going well, and I hope that from the Ukraine to Israel to the Gaza Strip to all of these places that we can all kind of just cut it out and stop being knuckleheads. As my nanny would say, stop being dodo birds and knuckleheads and get the Blue Chew for your penis.
People sit on a sectional and start talking about cell phones and cell phone service. And you start saying,
I can't get any at the house.
You start, right. Then you start going, maybe there is no God. Maybe this is pointless.
How do you turn the ringer off? It keeps ringing. Right. I don't know how it is.
Right. You know what I do? Yeah, they all got a tip on
well,
it.
Well, she's on our family plan now. As soon as the words family plan come out,
man.
I go, I'm out. I'm leaving. I don't, this is nothing. This is less than nothing. This is a conversation people would have on a public bus somewhere.
In an elevator.
You're right. It's elevator talk. We're family and no one cares about anything. That's when I have to go. And Christmas has now become, you see these people, they're strangers. When you have a divorced family, like I do.
Yeah.
You're sitting next to people, you don't know who they are.
Sure.
I don't know who my aunt, my stepmother's brother's niece is.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting next to people, I have no idea who they are.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happens sometimes in a family of divorce.
Yeah.
Because now you're sitting at a table with strangers. Yeah. Although I will say this, my stepmother's, her sister-in-law, Libby, does a shrimp scampi. It'll change your life.
Yeah, dude, Libby's all right.
And she does, you know why? Because she uses garlic powder. Ooh. Not a clove has ever seen.
Nice.
She just garlic powders that bitch. Like, I mean, it's crazy. And it's like fentanyl. It's just really, really good. Uh-huh. And you just eat like a pound of it, and then you're comatose, and you're on some sectional in a basement of a house, and then they just start going in about, like, well, I'm AT&T. Yeah. I have eight. Tim is AT&T, too. It just gets.
Tim, they have AT&T in L.A.? Like, yeah.
Yeah, right, right. That that's shit. How bad it gets.
So you, like, still get the unlimited minutes?
You're right. I envy the families that almost have a tragedy now, where it's like somebody went to jail, mm-hmm. where you can talk about that. Like, if there's one guy who's not there because he's serving time, mm-hmm. we can speak about him.
That's at least like, a topic.
It's a topic. It's real. I envy the families who at least have someone to talk about who's destroyed their life instead of cell service or, like, traffic. That's another thing. How you getting home? How'd you get here?
That's
traffic's
big.
Crazy.
We go down the shore every summer, and it's right when you get there. You get down on a Friday. When you get down, when you's leaving,
right.
How'd you get? Do you take the Walt Whitman? It's traffic
Wouldn't
and weather.
Wouldn't it be better if we all had somebody to go, we're going to visit him soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to visit him soon, you know.
Have you gone yet?
He's doing what he has to do. Like, I was at my mother's funeral. And
did they say anything to you about Ronnie about what happened or anything like that? Did they talk to you? You
know,
you're in the line getting the scampi.
Yeah.
What did they say? I mean, I didn't really hear anything about it.
Have you heard from him?
Yeah.
I'm at my mother's funeral. This guy comes up to me. He goes, I dated your mother back in the day. I was like, my mother was like hot back in the day. So I was like, oh, I don't want to. Okay, thanks.
Who said this to you?
This guy at my mother's funeral.
Fucking Long Island
lunatic.
We're
right in front of the urn.
What the fuck, man?
We're right in front of the urn. We got her cremated. She's in the urn. And we're sitting there. She's got this beautiful collage of like her on boats and her doing Florida things. And, you know, I'm sitting there and a guy comes up to me. He goes, I dated your mother back in the day. And I go, oh, he goes, yeah, you know, my Jimmy. I'm not going to say his last name. He goes, I'm Jimmy. And he goes, you know, my son, James. I go, yeah, how's he doing? He goes, not good.
Oh.
Immediately, he goes, not good. I go, okay, like, fine to leave it at that.
Yeah.
Fine to leave it at that, but they never are. He goes, he's got drug problems and he's got mental problems. Mm-hmm. So he's in the hospital right now and he's standing there with his wife. He goes, he's in a hospital right now, but he goes,
he sends his regards.
He goes like this. No, swear to God. He goes, but he knows you. He goes, he knows you and he like watches your stuff. And he goes, he's in the hospital right now. And he's trying, and that's our attitude. If he tries, we'll try. And then he looked at me, he goes like this. He goes, you own something in the Hamptons, I heard?
He might be looking for a room when he gets out.
Pretty nice out there, huh? It was just the way he said it. He goes, sure. He's in a hospital. When he tries, we'll try.
Uh-huh.
You own something out east, huh? That's nice. It's just like one guy said to me walking out of my mother's funeral, he goes, blessing in disguise, no? Like, that's
Jesus.
This
Christ.
Guy that owned a surf shop, he goes, blessing in disguise. Because Long Island, you have to understand, the death of a family member usually comes with some type of check.
Sure.
It comes with an inherited house. It comes maybe with a few Tiffany lamps.
I never thought of that.
These people in Long Island, they live to inherit. And once they've inherited, they then immediately start complaining about the taxes they have to pay on what they inherited.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, like immediately they inherit their mother's house. And then like the next day they're like, these fucking taxes, these immigrant, this community's falling apart. So when he's like blessing in disguise, it was kind of funny because he's like, you know, in all death in Long Island, there's opportunity.
There's cash.
There's a payout.
There's a title getting transferred.
But I saw these boomers walking into her funeral and I was like, it's just an amazing generation of people, mm-hmm. you know, they're just really amazing. Think about from where they started on this planet. You know, my parents were born in 1952. Mm-hmm. They grew up during the 60s, the hippies, Woodstock. Now it's 2023, okay? The amount of technological change in that period of time, I don't know that there's any generation that has experienced that in the way that these people have.
It's true. No, at the age they were,
At the age they were. To see how different things are, you know? And to be able to go on all of these different applications and still be racist and still keep the old ideas and the old value system through every new from Facebook to TikTok.
Uh-huh.
They are not dissuaded. Like the fear and the paranoia that they just have just to be able to like spread that. On every new, and they can barely use these things, but they can use them well enough.
They can get a status up.
They can get something up. They can get a couple of words up. And it's just one of those things where holidays, I think, have become less interesting because you know what all the people are doing.
Sure. You know what they're doing and you know what they think.
You know what they think.
I have that with like, It's also like, you know, everything's been so political, like we were talking about over the past 5 years or whatever, and it's like you'll go somewhere and like it's the second a conversation starts, well, everybody's hanging, we're at the island and we're eating and we're drinking and laughing and breaking balls, and then someone's like, "Did you see this?" And I'm like,
"Ruined.
I'm out."
Yeah,
because like my family's 90. I'm not that I'm. I don't know. I'm neutral. I'm in the middle. I don't give a fuck. But they're all Republican, so it's like.
But it's like, here's the deal. There's no reason on the salad line.
Sure.
You should hear the name George Floyd.
Yeah.
Sure.
There's zero reason.
Uh-huh.
And they don't even pronounce his name right. Like one of my uncles once was like, this, you know, George. And then somebody's like from the other room, George Floyd, pop.
Uh-huh.
Like they were waiting for it.
George Floyd. I go, no one has to yell the name George Floyd throughout the house while we're putting meatballs on a plate.
Yeah.
With the alley-oop going.
Have you been down to the city lately? Nah, you're going down there. What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's riots every night.
It turns so quick.
It turns very quick, and it's like they want it. They get excited. When the political people come to the party, they've prepared talking points.
Well, there's a fuse lit. The second they're in the door, you're like, is it 2 minutes? Is it 10 minutes? 3 hours? I don't know when it is, but it's fucking happening.
It's coming
and
out.
I'm getting called a pussy real quick.
It's coming out, and they're just like, they're ready to pounce, and it happens from both sides because my aunt is very liberal, and she likes to get into it too. Like she was out east at the house, and it's beautiful out, and it's nice, and my cousin's kids are in the pool. Like everybody's doing okay. There's no reason for any of this, and she's just sitting there, and she's just eating food, and she just looks up from her lobster roll, and she's like, when are they going to put Donald Trump in jail? And I'm like, can you just eat your fucking lobster roll?
Yeah.
Can you eat your, for Christ, can you eat your fucking lobster roll?
$20 lobster roll.
Yeah. 20. Come on. It's crazy out there.
It's $80 a pound.
It's stupid. Exactly. It's stupid. You just eat it. But it's just, they cannot help themselves. Mm-hmm.
Because before they got there, they were at home for an hour and a half on some old laptop at the island in the kitchen, just going through Facebook.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's this and it's that and it's lantern flies and it's they're just going nuts.
People
so
used
that's
to,
just in them.
And you know what I think is interesting is people used to have intra-family feuds and they would be about real things. Like they'd hate each other over something that made sense. Now, maybe it was silly. Maybe it was ridiculous. You know, a famous one is like, grandma died, the house got sold, somebody felt swindled.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Money.
My family doesn't talk to nobody because of money.
Money's a big one.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a thing. Someone got something in an inheritance somebody should have. Somebody didn't go to somebody else's Christmas or kid's birthday party.
I respect that. You're personally attacked, or you feel personally
attacked.
You're
in the real world. You didn't visit her at the nursing home.
Right.
We were out there every Sunday.
Yes. Now people fight over politics, which is the craziest thing to me. Mm-hmm. They hate each other because of politics, which is not affecting them really, other than
their day-to-day,
Their day-to-day, other than they like the idea of having moral superiority over the other people. We used to have, when I was growing up, there was this bear, this Snuggie, you know, the detergent?
Yeah,
of course.
Huggy Bear, right?
Yeah, I forget this.
Huggy Bear.
Snuggles.
So Starsky and
Snuggles the bear.
Snuggles.
Yeah. It was the bear. Okay, so Snuggles the bear. And my cousins, I had this Snuggles, and I kind of gave it to them, but I didn't really give it to them. Something had happened or whatever. And yeah, it looked exactly like that. It's kind of creepy now that I see it.
You had a laundry detergent bear?
I had a Snuggle Bear. And then my aunt, me and my cousins would fight over this bear, fist fight over the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And then my aunt at the end of the party would go to my grandfather, like, can I have the B-E-A-R? Because she was taking it for them. They were German. Nothing wrong with that. But let's just, it is what it is. And they, you know, they believed in certain things. And this was a big strain on our family that my family felt like they had stolen this bear from me.
Mm-hmm.
And gave it to their Nazi kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And things like that started feuds.
Of course.
Dumb things like that would
respect
start a feud.
That.
And I respect it.
That, yeah.
You know, I remember during the 4th of July one year,
mm-hmm.
someone called my uncle's wife a Jew. my Aunt Dawn, whose last name was Hassan, but she was maybe a little Arab. She had a nose thing.
Was it followed up with by, she knows what I mean, come on.
It was one of those where it's like, let's not, we're not, it's fine, but, wait, you know. Come on.
They're good people.
Right. Yes. Right.
I work with one. Right. Yeah,
it was that type of
crazy, yeah.
So then he's like, fuck all of you, I'm going to leave and drive home, and he was hammered. So my uncle and my other uncle went out and took the air out of his car. They flattened all of his tires so he couldn't leave.
Jesus.
Aggressive but effective.
Aggressive but effective. This was 4th of July. Me and the kid who lived up the block were sitting. I was sleeping at their house. They were like best friends with my uncle's family. So we all got to stay over there. All the adults were just getting hammered. We were watching this whole thing from like a house down, watching my uncles take the air out of my other uncle's car so he couldn't drive away. And then my grandfather got up because then they wouldn't stop. And my grandfather was famous for doing this. He's done it a few times. He would like get up and go downstairs and knock somebody out and then just go to bed.
Damn.
So my uncle was getting really crazy. This was another holiday. And he was just spouting and being nuts. And my grandfather came down, just laid him out, went right back to bed. And then the next day, my uncle was like, who knocked me out? My grandfather was like, I did. And my uncle was like, thank you. I needed that. And he goes, you know, anytime. But he was like a PAL boxer, like an Irish boxer would just. And so we had a violent kind of drunken
family. I come from that. There's fist fights or close to fist fights once a year, easily.
Right.
Yeah.
So why can't we get back to that?
I'm out of the office with strep throat this week, and I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast with the Are You Garbage Boys. Love those guys. Many people don't know the story about when I tried to get tickets to the Taylor Swift concert, but I was desperate, and I started prostituting my body to get tickets to it because I couldn't afford them, and I didn't understand these scalpers and these websites, and I was prostituting myself. And it was hard, but I kept doing it for about 3 months in hopes that I could afford to see Taylor Swift at, I forget where, but one of the places she was going, SoFi, maybe? And I became a prostitute because of it, and I have AIDS. And AIDS is not a big deal as much because you can survive with AIDS for a very long time. Although it is awkward to bring up. And it's not even HIV, it's full blown. I have full blown AIDS, which is still bad. And because I wanted to see that concert so badly, I have full blown AIDS. Because I was prostituting myself. And I would let anyone do anything to me for any amount of money. Scat, piss, shit, blood, play, any of it. Any of it. Do you know how much I love Taylor Swift? When you're getting just fucked by people you don't even know. Because one guy, he would wear a mask and hold a gun to my head. And I would just be on all fours. And he would just come in, and I would see him in the mirror with the mask on. And he would hold a gun to my head, which he said wasn't loaded, and I hope it wasn't. And then he would leave. And it was, you know, I don't know if he gave me AIDS. But there was another way to do this, and I wish I had known about this app earlier, and it was the Game Time app. And they have last-minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals, easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area. Views from all seats of the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. And that to me is exciting because you can get the best tickets, the best deals, no AIDS from this app. You just can do it. And if you download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code TIM for 20% off, $20 off your first purchase. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code TIM for 20% off your first purchase. You're going to have a much better life because you're not going to be in a motel in Jersey with a gun to your head getting peed and pooed on so that you can go see Taylor Swift, you know? But when I finally made it and I was in that and she did Love Story, every time I was beaten by a trick, and it was a lot, every time I was beaten by a trick, pissed on by a trick, was worth it. When I heard her do Love Story, whoo, I would do it all again. But you don't have to. Go to the Game Time app. Create an account. Use the code TM for 20% off your first purchase.
Well, here's what's happened. I think what's actually ruined all of this is technology is kind of ruined people because people are now angry all the time. There's no
they're constantly being reinforced of like this is what I believe, this is this article,
they're
this
so
is that.
Angry.
Yeah, they're running hot.
That holidays used to be a special time because people would drink alcohol and then have this flood of emotions and see each other. Now people just hate each other all day, every day. It's like a time release Adderall versus doing a line of it.
Yeah. I also think too, right? Like you said, it's like, you know, there was this booze is involved. There's this release of emotion and sometimes it's good. Sometimes you would get out. I fucking love you. You mean so much to me. Other times it was bad. You fucking stole my, you know, whatever. Right. But then in the morning or the next day, you reconciled. Right? Like, you're not reconciling over a political argument because you still feel you're right. And there's at least some sort of, I'm sorry, I was fucked up last night. I was out of line. That, in, like, an Irish Catholic family is...
It's essential.
That's huge. That's huge.
It's one of those things where technology is making people slowly less human.
And
that's the unfortunate thing. Halloween, was it the party route for you? How does it...
No, I mean, as a kid, it was suburbs outside of Philly, just hardcore trick-or-treating. Like, you know,
that was me too. But then you're, you know, you become a man that first year you throw an egg. This is why.
Sure.
The first year that my friends, like kids like Alfred Kinesi, who was popular. He's maybe still popular. I don't know.
Seemed to be over it.
But those kids, Johnny Mannix, Pat McCrae. When I got
Johnny Mannix.
Yeah, these were
that's
like
a great high school name.
Great names. Great, but this is eighth grade. Great
we're going
names.
To Mannix's house.
These were the cool kids, and they were genuinely cool. Like, that's the thing about cool kids. People are like, oh, are they cool? Yeah, they're cooler than you. They are cool.
Sure.
It's not a thing they were much more fun to hang out with than, you know, my friends. So they invited me, and we threw eggs.
Ooh.
And we shaving cream stuff.
Yeah. Was this mischief night?
Halloween night. Halloween night. Long Island is my first. And I felt like, oh, I'm growing up because I'm with cool kids and we're throwing eggs and we're vandalizing stuff. This is what cool kids do.
You feel
do.
Like you're in a movie. Like you've seen this before.
I'm not trick-or-treating like a bitch.
Sure.
I'm not walking around with a Frankenstein head and my mother.
Yeah.
I'm out there defacing property with my friends.
Uh-huh.
And that was, it's an important night for every child. I don't know what they do now. They might do gang initiation now. What do they do? Because are they still vandalizing? Or is that even, that's like pussy now?
I don't know.
Now they're like swatting each other and having the feds.
On the other end of that, you know what they're doing? Like my nieces and nephews, they don't go door to door anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Trunk or treat, they call it.
Oh, I don't like this.
Fucking whack.
It's corny as shit. It's during the day, like maybe the day before or something leading up. They all drive to like the football field in town. They park their cars all around it, open up their trunks, decorate their trunks.
Now, why are they not going door to door? Is it because
danger, maybe? I don't know.
Well, you know what's interesting?
I think it was a COVID thing.
A lot of people don't do it. So a lot of houses, you just knock, 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 and nobody's home.
Lights out,
People are like, we're not doing it.
There used to be only one or two of them. And that's how you knew that was the creep of the neighborhood.
Right.
You never went by, they never had Christmas decorations or Thanksgiving decorations, and they didn't do anything on Halloween. That's how you knew to stay away. So when you're doing that shit at the football field, now you got no judgment.
Trunk or treat?
Weak.
Fucking insane.
I don't
They've
like
been doing it.
It
for a decade, I'm telling you.
And they Weak. Pull up in a parking lot?
Everybody, and you're like, everybody backs their car into like a big, like a horseshoe shape. Yeah, and then you decorate the back
I'm
of your car.
Some of
they
it
sell
right
decorations
now.
Yeah. for the back of your car.
That's
I
lame.
Don't like this.
And then so it's safe. Everybody's parents
would,
are there.
If I had children, I would look at that up.
Yeah,
get
that's
that up right
Holy
now.
Holy shit!
Holy God! I'd
They've
rather my
got
kids
bodies.
Get kidnapped. Yeah. I'd rather my kids kidnapped
for a couple of days.
For a couple of days than this. This ruins people's lives.
Man.
God.
You got to have Halloween because, like you said, you got to have that rite of passage.
That learning There's moment,
gotta,
too.
You got to go from the costume to all of a sudden one year, you have a sweatshirt on, maybe a mask, and you got the pillowcase.
Yes.
Once you cross over to the pillowcase,
but like you didn't forget. That was a life-changing moment for you.
It was a life-changing moment for me because...
That ain't happening at Trunk or Treat. You're not having a life-changing moment. You're not learning anything at Trunk or Treat.
There's something that happens when you're a teenager. You have to decide which kind of teenager you're going to be.
Yes.
A good one or a bad one. I decided I was going to be a bad one.
Uh-huh.
I didn't hurt people per se, but I stole money. I did drugs. You know, mm-hmm. I lied.
Sure.
I cheated, you know, when I could in school. I didn't care about anything. My main goal from when I was 12 or 13 years old till, you know, when I was in my really mid-20s, but let's just say for the teen years, my main goal was to make myself happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked marijuana, cocaine,
sure.
Percocet, Vicodin. I'd take a pill of morphine if you had it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd do a line of ketamine. I'd take an ecstasy.
This guy parties, dude.
With a little Mitsubishi symbol in it.
Yeah.
I would take
You're not getting that at Trunk or Treat.
I would take a tab of acid. I'd take a little sugar cube of acid with the blotter, little red dot acid in it. I would take
I remember the first time I saw that.
Yeah, I'd take an eighth of shrooms. I'd smoke a Benson and Hedges unfiltered.
If like a gentleman.
If we could steal it
if you get
from
your hands
my friend's
on it.
Mother, Barb.
Barb.
I would do all these things because they made me happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sitting in Oil City, which was this area of just oil drums, it was abandoned, and smoking a pack of Marlboro Lights, Marlboro Reds even, that we stole from my friend's mother, and then puking mm-hmm. made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the times.
Those were the times. Life may not ever get better than that. What scares me now is the drugs are too intense, the kids are dying.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because they can't have that fun that we had. They're dying now.
That little experimentation goes it's quicker. It's a shorter road.
They're doing fentanyl now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Whatever it is now, they get to a point where it alters their life. Like, I remember running around Halloween, throwing some eggs, doing some shaving cream, smoking a little weed, stuff like that.
Bad weed too.
Bad
stems
weed.
And seeds.
Beasters. Not good.
Yeah.
Take it, you know, or you do some psychedelics in your teen years, and I think you know that is okay.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, not 12, but like if you're 17 or 18 and you and your buddies take some shrooms,
that's when you know, do it.
It's why you do it.
That you got from the older guy that works at the restaurant that you work at, but
of
you had to drive
course.
A half an hour to get it. There was a process.
There was
involved.
A process. These
problem solving. Those are life skills.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that don't grow up now.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that don't grow up, and it's weird emotionally, meaning they'll have an apartment. They'll have money. They'll be able to pay their bills, but they're not emotionally growing up. They don't know anything about the world. And they don't know anything about people. And I go, how did that happen?
Uh-huh.
How did that happen? And I think technology's flattened everybody to the point where a lot of people's formative experiences are on the internet mm-hmm. and they're not in real life with real people.
You learned a lot about yourself disappearing into the suburban night with Johnny Mannix.
You're not kidding. You had fun. You had a good time. And you go, okay, we can't do too much crazy shit because we'll go to jail.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't fuck with these kids because they'll kill us.
Yeah.
And we got to learn to think, like, when me and my friend Shay went to his Aunt Deb's house in Rockaway, Breezy Point, and we knew, you know, she was a fun woman.
Mm-hmm.
She liked Fleetwood Mac. She enjoyed sangria.
Ooh, sounds like a great lady.
That's a combo right there.
I mean, she's an Irish woman. She liked to flip-flop the sangria. And she liked putting the keys in that car.
Firing it up.
She liked starting that car. She had like a Firebird, something fun.
Uh-huh.
She liked starting that car because you know what? Who's telling her what?
Nobody. Yeah.
You have a couple of cocktails. She liked that scent and there's no room in it. And we just knew what we could get away. We knew what we could steal.
Mm-hmm.
So we would take some of her Absolute Vodka. She liked well. And we would take some of our Absolute, we'd do a couple of drinks, and then we'd pour some water in it.
Yeah.
We'd do this. You'd know what
and
you could get away
as
with.
As long as that's not kept in the freezer, you're all
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
You're okay.
You don't, now kids today barricade her in her bathroom with a gun, steal her car and go buy heroin.
Take her 401k.
Kids, that's not what you do. That's too much.
Too much. Yeah.
That's too much. You steal a little bit of booze.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little warmth. You go into the backyard. You do a Bernie. It's fun. People need to steal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what happened to that? Everything now is like off the chain. I just stole my aunt's car. I'm selling it and I'm buying fentanyl. That's too much because you can't come back from that.
Yeah. I feel like those little those little steps of like, oh, I am this. I'm not that guy. I did that. That was a little too much.
Right.
I'm not that guy. Or Tim did that. That was too much. Oh, I'm not that guy. Like you learn.
You got to be a little bit of a pussy.
You got to keep yourself on a leash.
Because the guys that aren't pussies die.
Yeah, that's true.
We all know a guy who's like, dude, that's the toughest guy I've ever met. And he's dead now.
I know seven of them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
The legitimate child thief started out going through the hall closet where the winter coats were.
Ooh,
picking what was in that.
Finding a five. That's what
the gentleman does.
That when you have a bunch of coats
winter
on
coats.
A bed during Christmas, I would start calling dealers at 10:30 at night like, hello, Chico.
That's
God rest
great.
His soul.
Yeah, they just checked in. They'll be out for a couple hours. Come by.
So to me, I think what we're losing is moderation.
You're not wrong. You're totally not wrong.
Nobody's going to be a saint, and you shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. There's nothing funner than doing the wrong thing in you know, little doses.
Yeah. With some sort of caution, with some sort of wits about you of like, all right, that, you know, and now there is no, it seems like there was always, in every high school class, there was always 5 kids, 10 kids. They're like, oh, those kids are fucking nuts. They're the ones that are crazy that end up dying or whatever. Now it's like, half the class is that kid.
It's like, I mean, that's why Thanksgiving, which is the last holiday we really haven't covered, but Thanksgiving to me, there's something important the night before Thanksgiving.
Sure.
100%.
This is important.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happens, in my view, the night before Thanksgiving. When you go away, I didn't go away to college. I went to community college, mm-hmm. and then I dropped out, right? But I remember I had a friend who was really tight, and he ended up going to community college, sticking with it, and then going to Cornell, which is like a really good school, and then George Washington University Law School. And I felt very deeply insecure because I was doing nothing with my life. You know what I mean? It's evened out. But the point is, The first year you go back to that bar, for me it was the Blackthorn, sure. Rockville Center, and you see all those guys that you were buddies with, you're still kind of in it.
Oh, yeah.
You're still in it. That first year, but every subsequent year, you're a little
diminishes.
Their faces blur around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. That's why I think it's important the first few years after high school to go out.
Yeah,
that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, because you should know what that feels like
mm-hmm.
to start. For the blurring to start.
Yeah, for the separation.
That's right.
And you also come back and go, like, I the same thing, very similar upbringing in the suburbs and the north, and it was like we'd go to the pub and you'd get there and it was the guy who went straight to the pub from high school.
Yeah.
And the guy who went to fucking Duke or whatever, or Harvard.
Right.
And you all come back and you're like, oh, Steve, you've been at the pub all year.
Right.
We just came back this. You're like, okay, I don't want to be Steve.
Puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
It's that little, like, you find out who you want to be and who you don't want to be. And then, like, as the group that the next year gets a little, if there's 10 guys, it comes to 8 guys. Then 5 got 4. And it's like, then it's just Steve and the other Steves from the year prior year sitting there drinking beers.
But it's also a little bit of a dog show those first couple of years.
Yeah, you're
show
flexing.
Up representing. Yeah. You're peacocking a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course.
But then, yeah, it does go downhill. Then the owners change the bar. It's not the Ben Elbow anymore. Now it's called McGurk's. And it stays
right.
And
McGurk's is all right, though.
The owner's talking to you now like you're an adult.
Yeah.
I knew I was an alcoholic when owners of bars started talking to me like an adult. And telling me about problems they were having. And I'm like, I'm coming here to get drunk with my friends. We're still, like, young.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in our late teens. We can't handle all of this. You know, so to me, it's like those are important moments that you need to have as an adult to become a fully functioning adult. And I think the holidays and the activities around the holidays are important. And I just hope that there is a recognition of that, and that, you know, we don't lose everything to the digital world, you know?
Yeah.
Because the local bar is important.
Very important.
Very important. It can't all be a club. It can't all be a DJ. It can't all be we're going to see Diplo in Vegas. Respect to him. He follows me on Instagram. Enough with the marathons. We don't care. do the thing. I ran a marathon. My point is this. And Marshmallow, but I don't want to start a beef with this other one. Marshmallow, I know that you're more famous than me. I don't know why, but I know that you do your whatever. At SW Steakhouse right now at the Wynn Las Vegas, they are doing this, which is one of my favorite restaurants. They have the Lake of Dreams show, a singing cigarette-smoking frog who sings New York, New York, while I eat the chili rub ribeye, which you got rid of. You shouldn't have, but whatever. They are now serving a marshmallow cake. Marshmallow, who is apparently has some residency at the Wynn, lovely SW Steakhouse, my favorite restaurant in Vegas. Marshmallow has a residency at the Wynn. They are serving a marshmallow cake with his dumb logo with the X's for the eyes, and it's the shape of that head he wears. Stop this. The marshmallow cake. $40, Chris. I'm not going to say your name, but we know who you are. $40, chocolate mousse, toasted marshmallow meringue. I'm a nougatine. Number one, how dare you not send me one for free? Number two, stop it. It's grotesque. You have a cake of your head. That it's not good for $40. Is it never enough? Can you talk to these people and say, please stop doing this? It's crazy.
And meringue can kick rocks.
Kick fucking
Get
rocks.
Get out of here with that shit.
But what I want to say, what I want to close on is your show to me, and the reason why I love it, and the reason why a lot of people love it, it's hilarious.
Thank you.
But more important than that to me is that, like, you're whether you realize it or not, you're chronicling history. This is fucking huge. You really, truly.
I mean, I think that's a little lofty. We talk about mayonnaise and Percocet.
But that is history. Listen, there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time when you talk about a mayonnaise and Percocet sandwich.
Yeah.
People are going to go, what's that? So, but no, it is true. It's like, I'm a big fan of inflating our importance, all of us. But I listen to your show and I remember shit. That's now lost. Literally.
Yeah, it's true.
Shit that it's lost.
It's a chronicle of a time gone by.
It's a time gone by that I remember I used to hang out at a bar called Lisa's Lounge. Fans of the show know this. It was named after a girl who died in a drunk driving accident.
Oh, I bet they do a good mozzarella stick there.
Her father, you have no idea. Her father put her picture in the middle of the bar and people would toast to her. They would go to Lisa. And then they would drink. And I asked this man, there was this crazy woman, Jen, who used to come in and she would say, I'm having the fire department over because we're having a big party. And she put all these shaving dishes out. And then nobody would come. And I would say to the bartender, I'd say, what's going on? They go, oh, Jen's mentally ill. She thinks she's having a party tonight. So we let her come here and have a fake party. And then this guy, George, would come in, it was kind of misshapen and deformed. And they go, he lives in his car. He actually won a scratch off. This is true. He had a lot of money, and then he got in with a hooker, and then she spent all his money. He lives in his car, and the only place he comes in to have a warm place is Lisa's Lounge. And then there were all these different people, and I said to this guy that opened this bar, like, you know, what is this place? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I opened, you know, because it was this really weird place. I was like 22, 23. I should not have been there, right? And I was sitting there, and there was a woman, Marge, who used to come in, was old. She used to shit herself, and people would try to take her out.
Sounds like a great place.
She'd go, Marge, you shit yourself. She'd go, you faggot. She'd scream, faggot. You're all faggots. It was crazy. I told all these stories. It was all crazy. And he said, you know, I opened this place so that people would have a place to go that don't have a place to go on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
And it really... and. I used to think that was so funny. Like, I used to be like, ha, 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 ha. As you get older, as you get older and you look back on it, and it had great holiday lights those 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, November,
I can smell the place.
December, yeah. January. There was something really, and I remember hearing that and scoffing at it and being like, and it was just such a funny joke to tell. You describe all the crazy things that happened, and then the guy goes, you know, everyone's doing coke and drinking, and he goes, I just, a place that, but I will tell you this, I went there on Christmas one year. Mm-hmm. I was in like a, you know, I was in a thing with my family, and I wanted to go. Places like that are important, you know, for people.
Of course, sure.
You know, it is like a weird thing that even though we make fun of them, and nobody wants that to be the case with their life, but then some people do end up in that situation, You know what I mean? Where it's like, that's their...
That's like an that's like an institution of a place. It's like a revolving door. It's like Jan or whoever, Marge, they're there every night.
Yeah.
You're there when you need it. It's like a crutch. You're there twice when you need it, but it's there when you fucking need it.
And when you think about it, that's the place that Aunt Riri went when it wasn't Christmas.
On 364 days.
That's what fed into the dip. And she, that's what fed into the family.
And she told everybody, tomorrow I'm not going to be here. And they said, why? And then she said, I'm making my dip.
Yeah, you're making the dip.
I'm making my dip.
So that's what fed it.
I'm making my dip tomorrow. You'll see me Sunday.
I'll be back.
See you Sunday.
You'll see me Sunday. H. Foley, Kevin Ryan, the Are You Garbage podcast on YouTube and Patreon. A podcast about history. It's like CBS, CBS Sunday morning. A podcast about time.
The history of the American family.
How great would it be if just I want to see CBS Sunday morning, you guys on. They're like two gentlemen talking about Cheetos and bath mats.
As the great Tim Dillon once said, we're quoting you.
My mom would love that.
As a pod, as a podcast, they chronicle a time gone by. A time when people smoked cigarettes inside of Pizza Hut.
Oh. Andy Rooney shitting on us.
Go see these guys, Pittsburgh Improv, Helium, Buffalo. They're going to be in Toronto, Canada. Go see them at the Royal. Go see them in Michigan. Go see them in Chicago. You guys got to be
fourth show added in Chicago.
Fourth show added in Chicago. I mean, Chicago Theater is my favorite theater in the country. Mm-hmm. Chicago is my favorite market to do comedy.
Chicago's a great comedy town. Boston
Chicago
as well.
Boston. Yeah. It's kind of designed for us. Mm-hmm. The food, the people.
Sure.
I love
the
Chicago.
Big city. Yeah.
They're also in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Madison, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Sacramento, San Francisco, San Jose, Washington, D.C., and of course, bringing it to a close in late December, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Where you guys hail from.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very good. Who cares about my... I don't even care. Don't come. Then don't come. Don't come. Who cares? I'll stay home. The Are You Garbage Show on Patreon. Go subscribe to them on YouTube as well. You can get all my dates if you want. TimDillonComedy.com. We're going hard for the next few months, and we're getting off the road in February, and we've got all kinds of other stuff happening. There's a thing that I can't talk about that's coming out in November that I'm not talking about. It will be really maybe fun, but it's not something that I'm talking about. And I stand in solidarity with Fran Drescher and the Guild. Good night.